George Springer is the second big free agent after Hyunjin Ryu last year to say, we love this core with Bo Bichette and with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and with Teoscar Hernandez and Alejandro Kirk, and you can go player after player. It's going to be a dangerous offense, and George Springer is a guy who's won a championship ring before, who's been in the playoffs practically every year of his career and has shown there, and he wants to show out in October with the Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays went into their planning phases throughout the course of the year with a lot of excitement, a lot of emphasis put on signing George Springer in this offseason. He is the number one target for this franchise this offseason as a free agent. They went out and they got their man.
Well, we got the Leafs and the Oilers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, tonight. Matthews versus McDavid, and that is not the lead story by any stretch of the imagination. We've got a world-changing day south of the border, and on this particular show, that is not the lead story by any stretch of the imagination.
What is, pray tell?
Well, did you go to bed early last night?
No. Sleep is highly overrated when something as big as what the Blue Jays did is happening.
We were comparing bedtime notes, and yeah, we were burning the midnight oil on either side quite literally last night. The Toronto Blue Jays are no longer going to be accused of being cheap, of being unwilling to spend. And shouldn't have been, quite frankly, after last year's signing of Hyunjin Ryu. George Springer. Of
the George Springer?
The George Springer. You're going to have to talk to him, Hazel, and get him to change his Twitter handle. Put a the in front of it. 6 years, $150 million. The biggest prize signing of the offseason so far. The biggest trade involves the Mets getting Francisco Lindor. The biggest, and there will be more to come around the league, but the biggest free agent signing of this offseason so far, George Springer, has chosen the Toronto Blue Jays for $25 million a year through the year.
Good morning, by the way.
2026.
Good morning to you. It is one of these moves that changes, A, the landscape, and B, how people view your organization. To have the top free agent choose, as you put it, Toronto. Now, there's 150 million reasons why you would want to choose the Toronto Blue Jays, but the fact that a free agent, highly sought after, an elite player, wants to come north of the border, with everything that comes with it, the travel, the blah, funny money, all the you know, preconceived notions. He wants to win, and he sees that this organization has the talent and the capabilities and the money and the resources to win for a very long time.
Let's itemize this, because you and I are going to go over a bunch of things here in the first half of the show, and then as we roll on, John Paul Morosi is going to be along at 7:30. Dan Schulman at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, Adnan Virk at 8:15, and then we will go down to Houston, where Jake Kaplan is on the Astros beat for the Athletics. So we'll get some insight into who George Springer is, what he meant to that franchise, give us a sense of the guy that we're getting, because we're getting one hell of a ball player. I mean, you've only got to go over to baseballreference.com and you see it. One of the stats that I first look at, it's an advanced metric, Hazel, and you know this, it's weighted runs created plus. Are you rolling your eyes?
My eyes, because I am still a working progress when it comes to analytics.
I'm going to cop to something right here.
Okay.
I feel like I can confide in you.
No one else is listening. Okay, go ahead.
I have absolutely no idea what weighted runs created plus is or how it's calculated, other than I know that it is the culmination accumulation of your offensive accomplishments for that particular season with park factors adjusted.
That is correct. Right?
So if you're hitting 40 home runs at Dodger Stadium, that's different than hitting 40 home runs if you're home ballpark in 81 for 81 games as Yankee Stadium with that short right field porch.
Correct.
So it takes all of that stuff in, and the key metric to understand is that the league average, however they calculate weighted runs created plus every year, the league average is 100. So you are a dead-on average player if you have a 100 weighted runs created plus. In George Springer's career, 2014, 78 games his rookie season, 126 weighted runs created plus. Since 2015, in order, 129, 125, 141 in their world championship year, and that will be part of the discussion this morning, the Houston Astros of 2017, but a 141 OPS plus that year. He dipped to 114 in 2018, but has since bounced back. So we want to talk about cheating and banging on trash cans and this and that. He had a 150 OPS plus in 2019 and a 140 OPS plus in the shortened season of 2020. This dude can hit. This dude hits 30 home runs. He drives in runs. He's a top of the order hitter. He's not afraid to take a walk. He's an on-base guy. He performs in the playoffs. He's a plus defender in the outfield's most important position, center field. We talked about run generation, sure. We talked and heard a lot about run prevention this offseason. He addresses both of those matters.
He ticks off, you know, every box an organization would love to have in a player. And I know we'll get into this later. I've been fortunate enough that Sportsnet covers the postseason up to the World Series. So in the postseason, I am usually assigned to the American League. And as we all know, over the last few seasons, I've been assigned to the Houston Astros. And outside of everything that you mentioned, and we will get into it, I think Blue Jays fans are really going to gravitate towards Springer. He is... His teammates just love him. He has a dynamic personality. He is very, very involved in the community. We'll get into one specific aspect that I think a lot of people will be really touched to hear. But here's a guy who has garnered the respect of the clubhouse. He is very media friendly. And when I say that, he's accountable. You can talk to him at his locker if you've been swept in a 4-game series. He will talk. He is very, he's one of those good guys where, you know, you can pull him aside and go, hey, George, what's up with this? Blah, blah, blah. He's very available. And I think he's going to be a fan favorite if he isn't already. Before he even steps out on the field.
Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins are working on relatively new contracts of their own. And I, when Shapiro's extension was announced, and the difference between internal industry buzz and public buzz is understood. Something can be done long before it's announced, or it can essentially be agreed to with some I's to dot and T's to cross and et cetera, et cetera. But Arash was in last week, and we were talking about the timing of Shapiro's announcement of his, not his announcement, but of the company's, the organization's announcement of Mark Shapiro's extension. And it, I think, is very clear that with all of the immediate uncertainty surrounding this franchise, Hazel, where are they going to play their home opener about a week into the season? We know they're starting on April the 1st at Yankee Stadium, if all goes according to plan. But when they come home, I think it would be very irresponsible of us to just sort of casually throw out there, well, they're going to play at Rogers Center on April the 8th or whatever the home opener date is. With all of the uncertainty surrounding COVID, the ability to cross the border. Do I really want to go and play in Buffalo? Okay, well, it sounds like it's going to be Dunedin. Like it's all out in the ether right now. Unclear on where we're going. one of the things that players can rely on is that when they talk to the president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays and his general manager, Ross Atkins, said player and his agent are talking to the two men who are going to be running this franchise for the next half decade at the very least. So when conceptual stuff comes up, money is the most important thing. Term matters too, all of it. But when you talk about your role on the team, how you best fit, what's going to happen to me when I'm 35 and there are some younger guys starting to push from behind, do I move to a corner outfield spot? All of those potential conceptual things that you want to hear, what the front office is thinking, you know you're talking to the two people who will be making that decision. And you can always go back and say, hey, we've talked about this for 3 or 4 years. We've had ongoing dialogue, as opposed to I'm told one thing by this front office, they get blown out in a year.
Right.
And now I'm working for new people and I don't exactly know where I stand.
So Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins, when they've been meeting with free agents, they have come prepared. They, I'm told, put together this, you know, this video of the city of Toronto, of Canada, and what it's like here to live here and the people here. And you have to think that during these conversations with free agents, they are somehow painting a picture of what it's going to be like, not just in 2021 and 2022, but when you're signing a free agent and they're, you know, they're hesitating, well, there's so much uncertainty. Are you going to be in Buffalo? Are you going to be Rogers Center? Chances are, if you're getting an elite free agent, he's not staying for 1 year.
Right.
Okay, so you're sitting there and Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins are painting this picture. Here's our vision. Do you want to be part of this vision? When you say yes and you sign a 6-year deal for a whole lot of money, you're on board with that vision. And you want to know that Mark, who is in charge, ultimately in charge, is going to be by your side, fulfilling all these promises, all these, you know, plans. And like you said, if he's in his walk year, I'd be a little nervous because this is what Mark's promising me now. But the next guy that comes in, what picture is he painting? Maybe it's I'm not on board with the kind of organization, the direction, the progression that the new guy. So you're right. Definitely secure in the fact that the guy that signed you is going to be around with you to fulfill everything the two of you collaboratively see the organization going towards, obviously, World Series championship. But there's other things, you know, there's other things. The people that he may want to sign moving forward. And you and I talked about this. They may not be done yet. There might be more guys coming. And I think there will be a few more.
Well, one of the things we're going to do a little bit later on in the program is draw up our batting order the way we see it currently for the Blue Jays. So we'll have some fun with that. And I think when we do that, Hazel, what we'll realize is that there's a good problem here. And so I want to be very clear about how I describe the word problem. This is not a negative thing.
No.
But when you draw up this lineup, from a run prevention point of view, that's one of the, I don't want to say it's a nerdy term, but it's one of those terms that has come into baseball's lexicon, particularly in the last half decade or so. There is still more run prevention work to be done. From a contractual point of view, you've got a 6-year deal here. I think what stands out to me about the Hyunjin Ryu contract when it was signed was that it was a 4-year contract. So he's got 3 years left. He is off of this deal at the end of 2023. You know who doesn't get anywhere close to being prohibitively expensive between now and 2023? Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Kevin Biggio. Lourdes Gurriel is on a long-term contract through that season. He is price-fixed based on the free agent contract he signed once he came over from Cuba. Hyunjin Ryu is in no way, an anchor on this team's payroll. Set aside the performance last year where he was one of the best left-handers in all of Major League Baseball. Ignore the playoff game. He was one of the best left-handers in Major, one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball last year. So he held up his end of the bargain in terms of performance on the contract. But the contract also works because it lives through the years of all the kids being cheap. George Springer will expire after the 2026 season, the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Vladdy and Bo and these guys, if they're not signed long-term beforehand, hit free agency after 2025. So if they're, and I'm talking about Bo as well, if there is any concern about having a 37-year-old George Springer at the end of a long-term contract negatively affecting the team's ability to allot significant payroll to its young stars as they come to free agency and hit their late 20s, there should be no worry about that. None at all. Because there might only be a one-year crossover of big money for the Bows and the Vlads of the world as George Springer's contract rolls toward its end.
They're in a position that organizations strive to be in. A core of, and you know what? George Springer was part of a Houston Astros core. Bregman, Altuve.
Correa.
I mean, he knows what it's like to be right in the middle of a core of young, talented players. He knows what it's like to be in a cohesive lineup. And these guys, sure, they want to win. They want to have fun. And they want to have the winning sustainable. You know, absolutely. To win a World Series is, you know, awesome. It's the ultimate goal. But to have the environment in which you can continue to have success and to have the resources and the payroll available so that you can plug in pieces here and there as this contract goes is a position that so many players want to be in, organizations want to be in, and guess what? It's happening right now here in Toronto, not New York, not in Boston. It's happening here with George Springer.
As you were saying that, I'm thinking he's somebody who will probably, when it's all said and done, be described as having two careers. He came up in Houston alongside his fellow kids, and they had success.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I want to be very clear, we are not ignoring 2017 on this program.
No, we have to talk about that.
Hugh will jump on at 6:30, and we'll have a little roundtable about how we feel about 2017 and Springer's part in it because he was on the Astros ball club. So that conversation is coming. But he comes up with those kids in Houston and has success. Now he comes to Toronto, and he's like old wise man, which is weird to say of a 31-year-old, but he's old wise man, and he can help lead the Bows and the Vladdies and the Cavins and the Lourdeses and all these guys who also, just by chance, in a 60-game COVID-affected season, got a brief snippet and a very harsh brief reality of what playoff baseball is. The Rays wiped the Jays.
No, yeah.
The first game was close, but it wasn't as close as the score indicated. They wiped them. So you get a little taste of it, and you realize this is what it takes. Now you got a guy coming in, and I'll expect the trash can references to come into 590, 590 when I say this, but I'm not thinking of it this way. You got a guy coming in who's consistently done it year over year. He's been there. Whether you like how he got there, whether you think the trash can business darkens all of the success through all of the years that the Astros had from about 2015 on, that's up to you. But he's been there. He's played in high-pressure games in front of full crowds in late October, early November. He's been there. That can't be denied. And that's experience he can also share with the kids while also contributing on the field at a high level.
When you called him an old wise man, and you, what came to me is, yeah, you're getting this old wise man who isn't an old wise man, you know, this wily veteran that hadn't sniffed a postseason series before. You're right. You're getting a guy who came into an organization, developed within that organization, learned to lose. I mean, let's not forget, there were some lean, over 100 lost seasons with the Houston Astros. He's learned to lose. He's learned to win. He's learned to win and to hit when it matters. These are things, intangibles, that other players, unless you've experienced it, can't then bestow to the young core. So you're absolutely right. He's not just a wily veteran that's been around, you know, 10 years or so. He's a wily veteran who has experienced what this young core has experienced and hopefully will experience with him in the lineup.
6 years, $150 million. It represents the largest free agent contract in Blue Jays history. And to that I say, great. I actually don't think that that is that big a deal outside of the fact that it is simply that, a fact. When I was watching, and you were too, Hazel, God bless you, Alan Hansen and Socrates Brito.
Sorry.
And what do you... That's coffee, right?
I almost choked on my tea, actually.
I had you reaching for a drink the moment I...
I had forgotten, you know, God bless them. I had forgotten about the Socrates Brito and Alan Hansen.
Yeah.
And what was the biggest controversy? He came out with Tony Fernandez's jersey number.
Was that number one.
And that was the big controversy around him. But yeah, it seems like a lifetime ago.
It was less than two calendar years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's a reminder that things can change. And I'll say this for Ross Atkins. It has not been always smooth. And the way that 2015 ended, Alex Anthopoulos pushed all the chips into the middle of the table, brought baseball back to life in this city. And then all of a sudden it got really weird. Because quite frankly, if 2015 had ended the way it had started, Alex would have had 6 years as general manager of the Blue Jays and nary a playoff appearance to show for it, right? And then I think it would have been natural to just transition to the next front office. That seemed to be where it was headed. So Mark Shapiro gets hired. He brings in his guy, Ross Atkins. The Canadian goes out the door, and Alex goes to work for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and people's arms are up in the air, and rightfully so. It wasn't a pleasant time. But they talked about the need to get younger, the need to rebuild the farm system. It's unpleasant at the major league level as you're doing that. You brought up the Astros of the early 2010s and the 100 lost seasons. You covered Theo Epstein in Boston. I'm sure he could tell us stories about the early days of his time with the Cubs, the 101 lost 2012 season. When you tear it down, it's not pretty. They kept some bodies around. Donaldson wasn't really healthy, but you know, they never lost 100 games. They came close in 2019, relatively speaking. But when you tear it down, that's what happens. And what we don't see sitting here in Toronto, although it's a little more available in the Twitter world where you can catch a 15-second video of Vladdy hitting a ball off a hotel in a AA stadium, but what you don't see are a lot of the kids performing in the minor leagues. And then when they get here and you start adding to them with guys like George Springer and Hyunjin Ryu, you go, holy crap. So we paid a price, and now the payoff... Well, if the payoff doesn't come, it won't be for a lack of effort or a lack of willingness to spend money.
When you spend, you know, $150 million, you think, you know, oh my gosh, that could possibly handcuff organizations. I mean, you and I know there are players still out there getting paid who haven't been around for years. Like, to me, $150 million and an organization that can sustain winning, jersey sales, ticket sales, concession, endorsements.
Long-term buzz about a new stadium.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I think, you know, you got to think long-term. And the criticism for for Mark in this front office is, you know, you guys are cheap. You guys won't spend the money. And they, I had a conversation with Mark Shapiro, I was say in November, and he said, you know, all the rumors out there, they're true. Like, we are in on everybody. And that's been pretty public. But he reminded me, he said, Hazel, they have to say yes. And the perception is that when they don't say yes, it's somehow the front office's fault. And you can throw a bunch of money out there. And yes, you know, $150 million will bring people here that may be homesick for, you know, being away from their families. But at the end of the day, they have to say yes. So I think when you hear stories of this front office finishing second, you have to take into a fact that it really, at the end of the day, a free agent has to say yes. And Toronto is an awesome organization to be part of when you're a player. I've heard this from players who are no longer with the Blue Jays organization. The city of Toronto, as we know, one of the best cities, not only in North America, but in the world. The trick is to get them here. So once they get here, as you know, you talked about Mark Burley.
R.A. Dickey, bunch of them. They
who
see
did
it.
Not want to come because, you know, who knows, you know, milk in a bag. I don't know. But the trick is to get them here. And once they're here, I have seldom heard from former Blue Jays who did not like their time here.
George Springer will turn 32 on September the 19th. So I'm going to call this his age 31 season upcoming, because he's going to be 31 for most of it. And yeah,
I'm laughing because of the age 32.
Right.
I would love to say I'm going into my age 29 season. Hello.
Yeah. I'm going into my age 29 season for the 13th time,
exactly.
Something like that. Right. It's not so bad. 6 years, $150 million for the veteran George Springer. Now, Hazel and I will draw up our batting order 1 through 9 at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. John Paul Morosi will join us. Shai Davidi is, Dan Shulman is ahead on the program. Shai Davidi, you will hear on this radio station later today. A bunch of guests as we cover George Springer's arrival in Toronto. The Blue Jays landed the big fish. There's a bit of a stink in the pond, though, and that was the 2017 cheating scandal in Houston. Hugh will jump in. We'll do a roundtable on how we feel about that now that Springer is here. That's next. Scott MacArthur, Hazel May, Hugh Burrell. On the morning after the late night of major breaking Blue Jays news, George Springer, 6 years, $150 million. We should say that tonight the Leafs and Oilers are here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So if you're knocking game one of many this year, Matthews versus McDavid, off the front page, it must be big news.
Yeah.
And it is. This is the richest contract the Blue Jays have ever handed out to a free agent player. And George Springer will come to Toronto and play here through at least the season 2026. And he will turn 32 on September the 19th. So I'm going to insist on calling this his age 31 season, the one upcoming. And so the Jays do get a guy who is still in his prime. He will no longer be in his prime at the end of this contract. And I wonder if, in the very same way that the fourth year and the extra 20 schmil brought Ryu here, I wonder if the sixth year and the extra 25 M's that 6 year brings George Springer, I wonder if that was the deal breaker in a positive way for George Springer. That was enough to lure him here. And Hazel and I outlined the contract and how Bo and Vlad will be eligible for free agency after the 2025 season. This all lays out This all lays out. It maps out perfectly. Ryu expires before the kids get expensive in arbitration. And Springer's contract will expire with probably a one-year overlap with Bo's and Vladdy's extensions, presuming that all of the kids stay, which is probably something I shouldn't be presuming 5 years out. But we only know what we know as we sit here on January the 20th, 2021. George Springer, world champion 2017. I have been very clear on this program and will repeat it now, that I have thought and believed and continue to believe that the Houston Astros should be stripped of their 2017 world championship, and here's why. Punishing an owner who's got gazillions of dollars with a some numbered million-dollar fine and a few draft picks over the years. The draft picks will affect the on-field product. Be clear about that. But punishing an owner with a fine and some draft pick losses does not deter the behavior when you've already secured the piece of metal. And that's what the Houston Astros did. They won. If you want to deter future behavior, you have to punish to the extreme severity the act in the aftermath of said act, so that teams that consider behaving the way the Astros did down the road understand that they might have the celebration at the pitcher's mound, but that ultimately, if they are found to have cheated to the extent Houston did, that championship will not be recognized.
That is something that I agree with you. I was disappointed in that punishment was not handed down to the players because they were the ones who committed said offense. So in my opinion, they should have been the one who suffered the most. Maybe, I don't know if suffered, you know, the one thing that players relish are these World Series titles, these the fact that they're looked at as champions. And when you take something like that away from them after they have worked so hard all of their lives, I think that is more of a deterrent than handing an owner a financial fine. They own a baseball team because they have more money than, you know, you and I can spend in four lifetimes.
Not Hugh, but you and
me. Well, close.
Right,
Hugh. I don't like to brag about my bank account, really.
So, Hugh, my thing is that the players didn't really, quote-unquote, suffer. Yeah,
no.
Sure, they were shamed. Yeah, they had to talk to the media. They had to answer all the questions. Poor things, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it affected them enough that other players who were watching this scandal thought, you know what? If I wanted to try something dicey, fishy,
a little shady,
I better not.
Yeah. Here's my take on it. I mean, they did it. They got caught. And if you remember back when they all had to do the mea culpa in spring training, George Springer was actually one of the more contrite Astros. He stood there and he took it. A lot of hard questions for him, but he stood up and he faced the music. Not that he should be applauded overly for that, because, yeah, he was one of the cheaters. However, in life and in sport especially, we have a capacity, we have a desire to forgive people. I think we can all agree that we kind of have, most of us anyway, have kind of forgiven Alex Rodriguez. Certainly most of us have forgiven Tiger Woods. And I think in time, people will forgive George Springer. That's not to condone or to let him off the hook, but it's time to kind of maybe move on from that. And I'm not just saying that because we're all Blue Jays fans and we have one of the best, very best players in the game now. It's okay to feel conflicted. It's okay to be happy on one hand that he's here and still feel a little bit uncomfortable with the whole cloud of the cheating scandal still hanging over him. But what more can he do? And the galling part, really, guys, if you look at his stats, didn't need to cheat. Like, his numbers last year, if you extrapolate them, they played 51 games last year. He was in 51 games last year. If you extrapolate his stats, just basically do a really, you know, basic times everything by three, his numbers are better than his numbers in 2017.
Right. Well, yeah. And I mean, to your point about A-Rod and Tiger, A-Rod's was an individual act that affected his sport. Yeah. Tiger's was an individual act that, I guess, by proxy affected his sport because it distracted him. But it was really personal stuff.
Yes, but the outrage that he was going.
Absolutely. You're 100% bang on. George Springer was involved in a team act. And, I mean, the extent that he was comfortable with it or what have you, I mean, only he could speak to that. Here's the thing. He's a free agent, Hazel. He's a free agent. There are 30 teams in Major League Baseball. I would presume 30 teams that, if they had the budget for it, would love to have George Springer in center field. Somebody was signing George Springer. It may as well be the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, that's what
they get better.
So, Hugh, to go to, you know, to your point, you're right. To me, as, say, a sports fan, if you have or show some type of remorse, I am more open to, you know, forgiveness. But you're absolutely right. As you said that, I sat here and I remember the sound bites. I remember Alex Bregman being a little, you know, we're sorry. And then I remember Jose Altuve, you know, we're sorry. But you're right. I do remember George being a little bit more open, a little bit more contrite and asking almost forgiveness from the Houston Astro fans. So you're absolutely right. I feel like if you show fans that you understand what you did, you understand what you did was wrong.
Yeah.
You understand what you did affected other people's livelihoods. I think sports fans can forgive easier. And to Scotty's point, there's George Springer for, you know, a free agent. If the Toronto Blue Jays don't sign George Springer, you think he's going to be out of a job? No. Someone else is going to get George Springer. So why don't you get George Springer?
Yeah.
And, you know, try to kind of live with the fact that these guys did something wrong.
But there are, I mean, there are two ways of handling something that you have done wrong. There's the, and this is about the steroid stuff. It's different than the cheating scandal, but the overall kind of look is the same. You can handle things like Roger Clemens handled it, or you can handle things the way Andy Pettitte handled it. Andy Pettitte came out almost immediately, just apologized, said, I did it. I took them because I felt that I had to. And now everybody loves Andy Pettitte. Roger Clemens still isn't in the Hall of Fame. So there's two.
But Andy misremembered.
Misremembered.
Great line.
And because you brought up Andy Pettitte, when Mark McGwire did that sit down and he was in tears.
I'm not here to talk about the past, Hazel. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Were people looking at him feeling bad for him? Did they maybe?
Nope.
Yeah.
No. But with Andy Pettitte, it was different. So it all, we all make mistakes.
No, I see where you're coming from.
And it's how you react to those mistakes. No one's saying that we should, you know, condone or it was okay. No, what the Houston Astros did and what George Springer did as part of the Houston Astros, that was wrong and that was bad and left a stain on the game. But are we going to concentrate on that or are we going to give the guy a chance to move on?
And he was one of the guys, I remember seeing a graph of, you know, banging of the trash cans and the Houston players' names on the one side of the graph. And he was one of the guys who benefited the most from the trash can banging. But to Scotty's point, and to you, Hugh, unfortunately, it was, you know, a terrible, awful thing for them to cheat. But he didn't need to cheat.
Yeah.
Because as Scotty had just laid out last segment, is he was already a talented guy. Which is the sad thing about
same
that.
Same with A-Rod, too. Yeah. A-Rod's numbers were fantastic. He didn't have to use the performance-enhancing stuff.
But. Right, and I think there's another delineation point with some current news. somebody like Jared Porter should not work in baseball again.
Never.
Somebody like John Coppolella, who Alex Anthopoulos replaced in Atlanta, will never work in baseball again because he was banned for life for engaging with underage talent in Latin America. You cannot negotiate and sign players in the Dominican Republic and other Latin American countries until they are 16. The Atlanta Braves were going as young as 14 using proxies to reach out to those kids. You can't do that. That cost Coppolella, who's about my age, a lifetime, presumably, in baseball. Those are things that are much harder to forgive. The Jared Porter behavior, the John Coppolella behavior. George Springer has played 3 seasons since the height of the trash can banging scandal and is going to play 5+ more seasons somewhere else. It may as well be where it's going to be, and that is Toronto. And the question is, are the Blue Jays a better team today than they were yesterday? The answer is yes.
Of course.
And is George Springer more accountable than somebody who's got his own issues like Trevor Bauer, who would undoubtedly make the Blue Jays a better team by giving them a legit ace as we wait for Nate Pearson to become said ace? And could you imagine a Bauer, Ryu, Pearson 1-2-3 in the starting rotation? It's wonderful from an on-field perspective, but there are hesitations and complications that Trevor Bauer would bring that make me far more uncomfortable than what George Springer has in his past.
I don't think we're asking fans to forget what happened and to kind of, you know, sweep it under the rug. Just understand what happened, what George Springer's role was, how he felt about it afterwards, how he has performed since then. And like you said, he can do something wrong before and be put in a position to be better moving forward.
We got some UNTUCKit gift cards to give away.
Love it.
$200 worth because we did not have a winner yesterday. Hazel and I will draw up our Blue Jays 1-9 starting lineups at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. And out of that will come some conversation about, I think, and we'll see if Hazel agrees, some identifiable needs that the Blue Jays still need to address. But in the meantime, the $200 in UNTUCKit gift cards are up for grabs when we play All or Nothing. 416-870-0590, 416-870-0590. Call now to be our contestant. We play next.
It's time to play All or Nothing with Ziggy and Scotty Mack on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I wish people could hear our conversations in these ways.
So Scotty and Hazel.
What the heck's going on in there?
I know, it's out of control.
It's a Scotty and Hazel podcast. Coming to the dark corners of the web ASAP.
So much swearing.
All right, we got $200 in UNTUCKit gift cards we want to give away. All or nothing, 3 true or false questions which you need to get all right or all wrong. So if you get the first one wrong, you're not out. You just got to get questions 2 and 3 intentionally incorrect. Our contestant is Jason in Toronto. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Good luck to you. Hazel's got question number one.
Good morning, Jason. It does not look like we will see any home runs hit in Rogers Center this season. We don't know, but it's not looking great right now. So here's your question. The last Blue Jay to blast one into the 500 level, true or false, was Josh Donaldson.
False.
Jace. It's true. Donaldson, 2017, and then Encarnacion a couple of times, Vernon Wells, Josh Phelps.
Yeah, as you go back in history. So you're all right, Jason. You just got to get the next two wrong. So whatever you think is correct, answer the opposite. Hugh's got question two.
All right, Jason, Leafs and Oilers tonight. By the way, 7 o'clock, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jason, Austin Matthews' career high for goals in a season is better than Connor McDavid's best year for goals. True or false? Get it wrong.
False.
Yeah, you got that wrong. therefore you got it right. Matthews, 47 goals in 70
so
games
confused.
Last year. I know. McDavid had 41 goals twice.
Hazel's got smoke coming out of her. The negative buzzer, the angry buzzer, is now a happy buzzer. That's it's so counterintuitive. Jason, here we go. You got to get it wrong. Joe Thornton, along with his 20-plus year NHL career, on three different occasions he has played in Europe for the club team HC Davos. HC Davos is a team based in Germany. True or false? Get it wrong.
True.
Good night. Woo! Congratulations, brother. $200 in Untuckit gift cards.
Way to
coming
go.
Your way. Davos,
way to go.
Davos, Switzerland. So, and Joe was just over there a few months ago.
Was he? Oh,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Get
I didn't know what Joe you were talking
about. Oh, Joe.
I'm so confused. I don't like this game. I'm confused.
I was talking about
Welcome
Joe
to
from
our world.
Yeah. Talking about Joe from Toronto, ex of Joe from San Jose.
But I'm, what?
Oh, yeah. Joe from Davos. He's been in Davos recently, too. Yeah.
What's
yeah.
happening right now?
Yeah.
Hugh, I never knew you guys had international contestants.
Oh,
I was like,
my goodness.
From Switzerland?
Yeah. We get calls from everywhere.
Maybe Joe Thornton would like some Untuckit. I mean, we've also got the opportunity to win a virtual meet and greet with Joe Thornton. We will tell you about that. And there will be a keyword coming up that you will need to text to us at 8:20. So be listening. Hazel and I draw up our 1 through 9 Blue Jays batting orders. And out of that, likely a conversation about some other changes that could be coming to this Blue Jays roster before the season starts. That's next. Love for Hazel May, and appropriately so, on the text line at 590-590.
Is my mom still texting you furiously?
Does your mom have 5 different phone numbers? they're all different numbers. I mean,
you never know.
You never know.
I haven't seen them in person for many months.
Chad from Barrie. Hazel holds the Toronto Blue Jays record for being involved in the most Gatorade cooler bombardments. Glad you're on this week, Hazel.
Thank you.
Chris and Barrie.
Thank you.
So what happens to the Hazel May design dresses that get doused?
I don't know. Well, they go to a very happy dry cleaner.
Can you get that stuff out? Like, that's...
My dry cleaner, Bibi, who she's just a lovely, lovely woman, is a huge Blue Jays fan. And when she watches the game and she sees me, she always greets me in the morning at 9 a.m. And when I open the door, she says, "I knew you were coming." She's like so elated because she had seen me get doused. She does an excellent job. Thankfully, my dresses do, you know, they hold up pretty well. They hold up pretty well. My hair, on the other hand.
So you're driving home and it's just.
Oh, well, what I used to do is hop in a cab. And by then, it's probably 40, 45 minutes post-Gatorade shower. And women, you ladies, you know what I'm saying. The hair starts to harden. And as you lean back in the cab seat, you hear...
I just want to rest my head, get some winks on the drive home. And
ladies, you know I'm talking to you. And I mean the Gatorade with the sugar and the stickiness. And I'm trying to pay the cab driver. And there's like, you know, bills stuck to my fingers. It's... Look, I'm glad they won. That's all I'm going to say, okay? That's it.
You end up being like a human lint roller in the back seat there, just picking up all the dust, everything. Hazel May is with us for the week, and the timing is excellent because the Toronto Blue Jays have just plopped down $150 million in what is the largest contract ever handed out to a player. George Springer will be here for the next 6 years. That has pushed Matthews, McDavid, Leafs, Oilers, which you can hear tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and watch on Sportsnet nationally, off the front page of the news by a considerable margin. The Jays, lots of consternation, slow-moving offseason. That's what baseball has become. The Jays have landed a big fish. Trevor Bauer's the big fish on the pitching side of things and comes with his own complications. George Springer, generally understood to be a very good citizen, but was a part of the 2017 cheating Astros. And that is a conversation that will continue to come up. John Paul Morosi will join us a little bit later on this hour. We thought now, though, Hazel, that we would draw up 1 through 9, our Blue Jays batting order, if the season was to start today. And I expect, and man, would I hate to be wrong, I expect that out of this, conversations will come up between you and me about other possibilities, because there are log jams now. Where the Blue Jays were thin in certain areas, there are potential log jams. So let's go with our leadoff hitter. We should get Tim Langton in here. if we had more time, we'd...
Yes, the PA announcer for the Blue
announcer.
Jays. Do I go first or do you go first?
Fire away.
Okay. This one I was flip-flopping, and I've decided to put Kevin Biggio in the leadoff. Even though I initially had,
Silent Vic, who doesn't make any noise.
I'm a guest here. Why you treat me like that?
You can hear Silent Vic booing through the glass.
Silent Vic knows that George Springer is one of the most prolific leadoff hitters in the game. I was going back and forth, and I'm just going to stick to Kevin Biggio, who is a patient hitter, who walks a whole lot, and if George Springer is going to hit a lot of home runs, which Blue Jays fans hope he does, I'd like to see Kevin Biggio on base. Okay, so I'm going to go Biggio.
Okay, so let's just, for sake of relative brevity and efficiency here, you've got Springer at 2?
I do.
Okay, so I've got Biggio, Springer 1-2 as well. And I think that you have Kevin taking his walks, right? I think he's a better hitter than some people anticipated, and I think there is more room to grow there. Like, I look at a guy like Kevin Biggio, if you're getting on base 34% of the time and you're hitting 220, get me 245, 250. I don't think that's an unreasonable ask. And if you get me to 245, 250, 350 OBP, on base percentage, can become 370 potentially. You're on base 37% of the time, you're a leadoff hitter in Major League Baseball. I don't care if you reach first with a single. I don't care if you reach first base via the base on balls. You get to first base. And George Springer's got some pop. So if George Springer is coming up in the 2 spot, I'm thinking a little bit back, Hazel, to Josh Donaldson, who used to hit 2 a lot for John Gibbons.
I had forgotten about that. You're right.
You get that leadoff hitter on base and George Springer goes deep, it's 2-0. It's not 1-0. That's just...
No,
that's my rationale. I would say for Kevin Biggio, though, that if you don't hit him 1, he drops significantly. He's not your 2, because if the alternative argument would be Springer 1. And then I'm bumping Bo to 2, and the domino effect pushes up from there, and Kevin falls down further. I think if Kevin is, that's my theory, if Kevin's at the top of the order, he's your 1 hitter.
See, I didn't think that way. And now that you say that, that does make sense. I had originally Springer 1, Biggio 2, Bichette 3.
Okay, we're on the same page with Bichette. We're on the same page with Bichette at 3. And why do I have Bichette at 3, Springer at 2? George Springer, this is opening day. If we're into July and Bo Bichette's on some kind of run here where you say Bo Bichette is clearly, unequivocally defined the best hitter on this team, then maybe you move him into the 2 spot. But I'm going with the veteran first. I think Bo Bichette slots in here as your 3 to start the season.
Who
I want him up in the first inning, guaranteed.
Who's batting cleanup?
Well, this is where, for me, it starts to become about matchups. So Vladimir Guerrero Jr. could be your cleanup hitter. If Rowdy Tellez has really good numbers against a right-handed starting pitcher, you could throw him at first base and have him hit cleanup. I think you've got a variety of options. I am really hesitant to drop Lourdes Gurriel Jr. too far down this lineup. He's a guy who could hit four for you on a particular day. And I also think it depends on who's up to what at what time. If Vladdy goes on a bit of a cooler, this lineup is now long enough that you can hide him a little better, even as far down as six or seven. But I think Vladdy, I think Rowdy, I think Lourdes all could fit in that cleanup spot. And of course, Teoscar Hernandez is a 30 plus home run hitter. I know I'm, why am I giving you half the lineup for one batting spot? I think this is where you can start to negotiate who's hitting where depending on matchups.
You really thought about this. You're putting me to shame.
You're coming up with different
scenarios. I had Vladdy Jr. and then I had Teoscar.
Okay.
And then Gurriel Jr. And then can I just finish off and we can talk?
Yeah, yeah.
Then I had Grichuk, Telez, and Jansen.
Okay. No, okay. That makes sense.
So what did you have after Vlad Jr.?
My non-negotiables really are Grichuk and Jansen are at the bottom of your order.
I'm with you.
And however you piece together Vlad, Gurriel, Telez, Teoscar, and there will be days against left-handers that Rowdy doesn't play.
Correct.
However you negotiate that is dependent upon matchups, etc. But what stands out for me, Hazel, is that in our lineups, and if you go to BlueJays.com and you look at their 40-man roster, they are thin right now on infielders. In our lineups, defensively, we've got Rowdy at first, Biggio at second, Bo at short, Vlad at third. And I think there is more to come here because Ross Atkins, and I'll say this for Ross, man, he was saying this when they were trotting Alan Hansen out and making our eyes bleed. He was saying this when Socrates Brito was going out there and not doing much, even though he was toolsy. He was saying 2021. And he was saying 2021 isn't the year where we hope to turn the corner. 2021 is the year we expect to contend. And I look at that starting pitching staff right now. Nate Pearson is just a kid. Nate Pearson did not throw a lot of innings last year, and Nate Pearson was not fully healthy in a short season last year. Hyunjin Ryu typically likes the extra off day in between starts, such that he starts every sixth day, not every five. Over the course of 162 games, if that's what we have this year, that means you're getting a little less Ryu than you would if he pitched on regular rest. The Roarks of the world, the Striplings of the world, the Rays of the world, the Toronto Blue Jays need to go and get another starting pitcher. And that doesn't necessarily mean Trevor Bauer, but it might mean it is time to make a trade. And that means offloading potentially, Hazel, I think, a player as part of the package off the 40-man, like off the current active roster, if you will, and some prospects to bring in some more pitching.
I know Randall's been out there in the news as someone who the Blue Jays could trade now. I don't know how many teams will want Grichuk with the contract that he comes with. If you are looking for someone to be in the rotation that can impact that rotation, Grichuk and a prospect is not enough. You will have to give up, in my opinion, and it I know Blue Jays fans might cringe when I say this, but you would have to give up a Gurriel Jr. You said a Teoscar Hernandez.
Well, I'm wondering if that's right? a name, too. Because here's right? the other complication, Hazel. In my lineup, and I don't know about you, but I've got Teoscar DHing. I've got Telez at first. I've got Vladdy at third. and Grichuk ends up back in right field.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, I'm looking at the run prevention there. I've got huge issues at third base. Like, Vladdy was not, he's lost some weight. He was not good in Dominican winter ball at third base. The highlights are all over Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, he can't be a third baseman. But if he's not a third baseman, he's either a first baseman or a designated hitter.
Right.
So there will be days that Telez doesn't play because it's a bad lefty-lefty matchup, or it's somebody who chucks high heat left, right, and center, and Rowdy doesn't deal with that very well. So Rowdy's on the bench okay, but on days that Rowdy plays and Teoscar's a 30-plus home run bat, if he's your DH...
Who plays third?
Like, if you got a first baseman in Telez and you got a DH in Teoscar, then you've got Vladdy either taking a day off, or he's playing third base, or are you giving Grichuk a day off in right field and throwing Teoscar out there? Like, these are all good problems to have.
Oh, yeah.
But there are now log jams, and they have very clear needs. I still think they need to get better defensively, although they just took care of the outfield. I'm very okay defensively with Gurriel, Springer, and Grichuk.
Oh, okay, yes.
Left, right, center.
Right.
Teoscar's a bit of an adventure, but you sneak him out there in the corner and his bat does a lot of, helps you forgive, right? Because he's a bopper. As long as he's hitting. You don't want him struggling like he did for the first 3 months of 2019, because then it's what do I have here? But I think that one of these players, Gurriel, Teoscar, Grichuk, maybe even a Telez, one of those ain't here when the season starts.
I would agree with you. If you want the type of talent that will make an impact in that rotation, you have to give up someone. And Teoscar Hernandez will probably get you a better pitcher than a Gurriel Jr. Teoscar Hernandez coming off, winning his first Silver Slugger. He, one of the best producing outfielders in all of baseball. We know he can hit 35 home runs. Gurriel Jr., tons and tons of potential. I think teams that want to contend now will probably want the likes of a Teoscar Hernandez for an impact pitcher than, say, a Gurriel Jr.
Right. I just love Lourdes. I don't want them to trade him. I just think he brings value all the way around because he has become a very dependable, I'd say, good left fielder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's found a positional home in Major League Baseball. And once he did that, the bat calmed down. Like, he's a good offensive player. Calmed down as, I mean, he relaxed and just sort of found his groove.
But do you agree to get the better pitcher, you would have to throw Teoscar and not Gurriel?
Yes, but like I like Gurriel better as an all-around player.
Yeah.
And I love Teoscar's bop, and very few hitters have the sound of the ball coming off the bat the way that he does. But as you know, Hazel, in this day and age, everybody, their grandfather and grandmother, your uncle's dog can hit 25 home runs in Major League Baseball now. Right? So it is appropriate to value each and every player you have for what they bring to the table.
Sure.
But there are very few who are completely, totally not expendable under all circumstances. Like Bo Bichette. I mean, if the LA Angels called and said, well, would you like Mike Trout?
I knew you were going to say that.
For Bo Bichette. Okay, well, my ears would at least perk up at this point, right? But there are very few scenarios in which Bo Bichette would ever be available at this particular point in his career and where the Blue Jays are. But a guy like Teoscar Hernandez, subpar defensively, a plus power bat that can get lost sometimes when he starts to flail. I'd be interested to see what you could get there. Because my brain also goes back to the run prevention, which is this. This guy is not a particularly good hitter relative to his peers. He is, though, a left-handed bat, and he is a plus defender at second base. The St. Louis Cardinals non-tendered Colton Wong. What about bringing Colton Wong in as a hypothetical to play second base, which pushes Cavan over to third, all of a sudden you're feeling a lot better about your up-the-middle defense with Colton and Bo and George out there in center field than you were last season. That addresses some of the run prevention stuff. Is Colton Wong a guy who's going to hit like a Teoscar or another bat that might get moved in a trade for some pitching? Of course not. But run generation, there's plenty of run generation in this lineup already. And if you improve on your run prevention, well, mitigating your opposition's run total by going and getting a second baseman who can go to his right, who can go to his left, who can charge in, who can catch that looping little pop-up into shallow right field over his head, play in the shift, do it all competently, comes from a good organization, the St. Louis Cardinals. If you can add pieces like that, they're not sexy, but they do have roles on winning teams. I'll go back to 2015, and it was a very small sample. But do you remember in September of 2015 when Ryan Goins just started walking all the time?
Mm.
He was hitting ninth pretty much because he couldn't hit 10th, right? He couldn't hit, but the Jays lineup was full of rock stars in front of him. And you could sneak Pilar with the great center field defense and Ryan Goins with the great second base and occasional backup shortstop defense 8-9, and you felt really good about things still because it was a murderer's row up top. This Jays team, if offensively they all take their next steps, these young names, the Bichettes and the Vlads and the Gurriels, and you got Springer in the mix now and Biggio, like these guys should be able to knock some baseballs around the park. You go and enhance your defense with a lesser bat and a guy like Colton Wong, I think there's some play there.
Where's your feeling at with Chris Bryant? You're looking for when his name was out there, I was like, oh, you know, okay, could play third. He's got pop in his bat, but he's hurt a lot.
Yeah, he mangled his shoulder going headfirst into third base on a slide in Cincinnati in May of 2017, so off the World Series year. And it was a struggle for him. He's on the IL a little bit. It was a struggle for him the rest of the year. 18 and 19, he had pretty good seasons. Last year, he went into the tank.
Right, right.
And had injury issues. You'd have much keener sense. He's a Boris guy.
He is. So that is correct.
So there's a...
That's always a factor.
Sure, sure always. It is. But, I mean, there's a relationship now between this organization and Boris. Hyunjin Ryu proved that. What do you give up for 1 year of Chris Bryant? Because, Hazel, it is not... Here's the difference between Lindor and Bryant for me. If I am trading for Chris Bryant, I am hesitant to give him a monster long-term contract I see that he's on the field every day and doing his thing. Whereas with Lindor, he goes out there every day and plays. I have no doubt about Chris Bryant's ability. I just worry about the physical toll he's taken in the last few years. And so what am I giving up if it's a one-year thing?
Do you give up a couple of, you know, prospects that would you, here we go. Would you give up an Espinal?
Sure. But I the Cubs would
want
need a lot more than that. Like I think, because if I'm the Chicago Cubs and I'm tearing this thing down and rebuilding it, I mean, they've been panned for their return on Yu Darvish. I got hesitations about Bryant, and you know I watch the Cubs closely.
Yeah, well, that's
I obviously National League Rookie of the Year 2015, yeah. National League MVP 2016, World Series champion that same year. I mean, you talk about starting a career with a bang.
Would you be okay if they don't make any more moves? Would you be okay as a Jays fan?
They got to get more pitching.
Okay.
They got to get more pitching.
So the attention now has to turn to the starting rotation. We didn't even talk about Kirby Yates.
Kirby Yates.
Wow.
We gave more attention to Tyler Chatwood
yesterday.
And we given to Kirby Yates. Well, and if Kirby Yates
can be
2018, 2019
absolutely.
San Diego Kirby Yates. They got a guy who can lock some things down late in ballgames.
41 saves, is that right? 41 yeah. saves, and he strikes out over 40% of the batters he faces. And the one thing, you know, it's interesting. Yes, he's coming off bone spurs getting removed. I don't think that's a structural surgery. I don't think that's as invasive.
The removal of loose body saves.
So I think he'd have a better chance of being healthy after surgery like that than a major structural damage.
And where did Kirby Yates start? He came up through the Tampa Bay system, his pitch for the Rays, the Yankees, the Padres. I mean, if you're coming up through a system and you're a pitcher, Tampa Bay's ain't a bad place to come up.
Yeah.
And hopefully the Blue Jays will be the beneficiaries of that this coming year. John Paul Morosi on the other side. And remember, you want to be listening at 8:20 for your next keyword. You'll need to text it in. We want to get you a virtual meet and greet with Joe Thornton. Leafs and Oilers tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Matthews McDavid for the first of many this year. George Springer is a Blue Jay. John Paul Morosi on the ramifications coming up. Dan Schulman at the top of the hour. Adnan Virk at 8:15. We've got our keyword to give you as you've got an opportunity to win a Joe Thornton virtual meet and greet.
That is a cool prize.
Yes, so be listening at 8:20 for the next keyword to text in to our text line. Jake Kaplan of The Athletic down there in Houston covering the Astros. So we'll get the Houston perspective on the person, the player, that George Springer is. Leafs and Oilers tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and nationally on Sportsnet. Matthews McDavid. And we're hardly talking about it. It must mean that the Blue Jays have handed out the largest contract in franchise history, which they have, 6 and 150, to George Springer. And John Paul Morosi of MLB Network is with us. Mr. Morosi.
Morning.
Something happened.
Something happened. Move over to our good friend Vernon Wells, right?
Yes.
We have a new number one in Blue Jays history from a contractual standpoint. But good morning, Hazel and Scott. Great to be with you both. And it is great news because the Jays, we were talking about it week after week, right? Eventually they were going to get somebody, and they got the biggest somebody out there, George Springer.
JP, how big is this for, you know, big picture, for the organization, for other players to see that a free agent chooses to come to play for the Blue Jays?
Well, Hazel, it's huge. And I think one of the things about George that I'm sure that we have all gotten to know in baseball for a long period of time, and that Toronto fans and the organization will get to know here in the days and weeks and years ahead, is that he really is a magnetic figure. He is someone that people love to be around. Teammates, I know from having covered the Astros in a number of playoff series and being around that team a fair amount in the last 5-6 years, that when you go to the clubhouse, his locker was always the one where there was a lot of people gathering and talking, people of all different backgrounds. He's someone that people are drawn to. And I think that in many ways, I would draw a little comparison between this signing and what Russell Martin meant to the Jays when he arrived. Credibility, winner, respected teammate, playoff track record, of course, in George's case, a World Series MVP. So when you have someone who is as respected as George is in the game deciding to come to Toronto, we heard in Hugh's update the fact that potentially Michael Brantley might come as well. And again, Michael Brantley is one of the most respected people in the game and someone who George Springer has a great relationship with. And now his interest, of course, and Michael goes back with Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins to Cleveland days from that first trade back in 2008. You're starting to now see just how those connections to George could have a tremendous impact on the roster, potentially as soon as the upcoming days.
With John Paul Morosi of MLB Network, it's been the general understanding that the Blue Jays and Mets were the top two teams in on George Springer for a while, John. I'm wondering what put Toronto over the top. Was it that the Mets went and got out Francisco Lindor, and that pushed them closer to the luxury tax threshold, which Sandy Alderson, the team president, has said is a demarcation line for the team as it accrues talent. It's got a very highly paid pitching staff. Or was it the situation surrounding Jared Porter and Springer thinking to himself, geez, I've come from a somewhat tainted organization, and now the Mets are an organization without a general manager at this point because of some lewd behavior, and it just pushed them toward the decision because the years and the money were right in Toronto?
Well, Scott, a couple of things. I certainly think that second element, what you mentioned about Jared Porter, could have contributed. We don't know. I think we have to wait to hear what George says at his first press conference, and I would defer to whatever George wants to share on that publicly. But I would not be surprised if it did have an effect. George is someone who is of outstanding character, and he really takes a lot of things into consideration, and the timing of everything, I do think, could have. Just based on what I know about George and how thoughtful he is, I think it certainly could have had an impact on his decision. But I think the other factor here is let's also look at the financial side of it. And my colleague at MLB.com, Mark Feinsand, reported that the Jays' offer at 6 years for $150 was about 1 year, or at least 1 year, and about $25 million greater than what the Mets had offered. So I do think the Jays had to pay a premium and probably buy George out, so to speak, of the comfort of playing right down the street from his home in Connecticut, where New York would have been, from that standpoint, quite convenient. And obviously there's still the uncertainty about where exactly the Jays will play in 2021, as we've discussed before. But so I think the Jays probably had to pay a little premium beyond that, but not a huge one. They didn't have to double the Mets' offer or something extraordinary like that. They had to win the bidding, and they did. And I think the other thing too that I look at and I think is really intriguing for George, and I'll be curious to hear what he says as his first meeting with the media goes, whenever the announcement happens. But I think the opportunity to be with a young team that has not yet won big together, I think really appeals to that leadership side of who George is. I mean, he and you'll find in the years ahead just what an incredible person he is. I mean, he's been a tremendous advocate and someone who's overcome a speech impediment in his life and is dedicated his time and resources to helping young kids who have dealt with the same thing. His family is incredibly accomplished. His grandfather was the head of the NAACP in New Britain, Connecticut, growing up. But when George was just being born, and in the years even before that, and so it's just that. And his father is a very accomplished trial attorney who's argued cases before the Connecticut Supreme Court. I mean, this is an incredible family, and I think that Toronto and Canada will just love having George Springer around.
Scotty and I were having some fun making up our lineups. All I can say is Charlie Montoyo shouldn't be worried about his day job at all. But with Springer in the lineup, how does the AL East now shape up, JP? How does that affect the balance of power? Where do the Blue Jays, with that kind of a lineup, rank in your mind?
Well, Hazel, it's a great question. And by the way, I think we all probably had this image last night of Charlie, like, sketching out his lineup on a notepad before going to bed and staying up till all hours thinking about how it's going to look, which is a fun thing for a manager to do. And by the way, I would say have him bat leadoff, because that's his great role that George has always excelled in. And that power threat right away, I think, really is a dynamic force. But I look at the AL East, Hazel, and to me, and obviously the lineup right now is in great shape. I still look at the Jays and say, if you're able to tell me how many innings and what the ERA is going to look like for two pitchers, Nate Pearson and Robbie Ray, I think that's going to determine, right now at least, the Jays' season. Now, are they able to re-sign a Taiwan Walker, bring in someone else who's a real solid rotation member? I think that would obviously change the calculus a little bit. But as you look at the hierarchy right now, the American League East has always been a stuff division. You need high-quality stuff to navigate this division. And you've got already a Cy Young finalist in Ryu, so that's one spot of the rotation that's obviously very strong. But you have to now say, okay, who else is going to help me go up against the likes of the Rays and the Yankees? Now, the Rays, of course, they've lost Snell and Morton from their rotation. The Yankees have lost, at least at the moment, Tanaka. So it's not a huge gap, but I would say that failing a major rotation acquisition, if you're going to put the Jays any higher than third, it's got to be because you believe that Ray and Pearson are going to be substantially better in 2021 than they were in 2020.
But I don't think, John, we can assume stasis with this Blue Jays team between now and the start of the season. And the reason is in part what you said about the pitching, but it is more broadly the notion of run prevention. I think there are ways that they can improve their defense still, even though Springer goes a long way toward addressing, in particular, obviously, the outfield issue. But Ross Atkins has been beating this drum since like late 2018, early 2019, that 2021 is the year they expect to contend. Not to turn the corner, but to contend. This is a flush minor league system. I think there's a package of prospects and maybe a today player that could go out the door to get an arm.
Sure, I think you're right. And I also think that from a defensive standpoint, too, we have to see what does this mean, the addition of George, and potentially if Brantley comes, then almost by definition someone's going to get traded. Maybe it's Tellez. I would doubt it would be Teoscar, but it's possible. And also, where does Vlad play? Because
right,
we've discussed before. I mean, he Vlad went down to the Dominican to play winter ball, which was great. And it looks like his swing was better there than it had been in 2020. But the defense, I think he started 8 games at third and made 4 errors. It's not, his defense there is not at a championship level. And to your point, that has to be the standard now. You got back to the playoffs in a very unique year in 2020. And as you pointed out, Ross Atkins has talked about 2021 as being the year. And if Vlad is making an error every other game, that doesn't, on average, work over a season. So I think that and looking at your defensive alignment has to be part of the conversation. I think behind the plate, I think Alejandro Kirk is a really interesting player. How many games is he going to play? I think the Jays could use a little bit more, at least from what we saw last year, a little more presence behind the plate. And is that Alejandro Kirk? He might be. And I love his story, love who he is, love his bat. And I do think that he's a very intriguing player to watch on this team in 2021.
Mark Shapiro said this team could get better in the form of, say, 4 very good players or 2 elite players. Does the George Springer signing, JP, does that automatically take the Jays out of the Bauer or Real Muto sweepstakes? Although I think we all know he's probably going back to the Phillies. Does that take them out of signing that one of the remaining big fish out there?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Hazel. Not necessarily, I don't think. And we have to see what Bauer's overall demands are going to be. I think this is where, for the Jays, this is the ability to think still about someone like a Bauer. And admittedly, from a financial standpoint, it would be asking a lot to sign both Springer and Bauer in the same winter. But it's possible. And I think that the reason why it's even possible is because the Jays had done such a good job of developing their own internal players at a relatively low cost. I mean, you got, in addition, obviously, to Biggio and Guerrero and Bichette, you've got Gurriel earning relatively low salaries here at this point, and Teoscar, who's still in his arbitration years, putting up huge numbers. The overall way that this team is balanced, financially speaking, is quite good. But I think that Bauer, to me, fits. I think Taijuan Walker fits. Oda Rizzi would fit. And I think now that the Jays have Springer already there, there is that credibility factor where, and George is someone who is so personable that he would pick up the phone and make some phone calls and try to bring in the rest of the group. And notably, Oda Rizzi and Taijuan Walker, as I'm thinking about it, both of them are also represented by the same agency that represents Springer and Brantley. So there's a lot of information being shared, I'm sure, and a lot of conversations. Different agents within the agency there, but it's all part of the same group. And I would say that potentially could help the Jays add someone, because whether it's Bauer or Odorizzi or Walker, I do think the Jays are and should be involved in those conversations still about pitching. And I think, to Scott's point earlier as well, that fundamental play and the defensive mistakes that we saw, the base running mistakes that we saw, those are things that if you have Springer or Springer and Brantley, in addition to what Charlie and his staff are doing, those veteran players will make sure execution is better in 2021.
We'll leave it there, John. It won't surprise you to know that with the big news this morning, we have not managed to get around to mentioning the Detroit Red Wings once. So,
hey, they're 2-2. Hey, Bobby Ryan, check out Bobby Ryan's production earlier. They should be 3-1. Very, very encouraged.
Stick to baseball, Morosi.
Congratulations to them too.
Big voice guy. Big voice guy.
Oh, he's back. He was respectful of my World Juniors ruminations for a while, but I knew the voice guy would come back and get me here. But Hazel and Scott, it was a pleasure as always, my friends. Thanks so much for everything.
You're the best, JP. Thank you.
John Paul Morosi of MLB Network. Something to chew on for great Canadian meat. We will talk about Michael Brantley and the various relationships he has with people in the Blue Jays organization, coming up. Listening at 8:20 for the next keyword to text into 590-590 for your opportunity to win a virtual meet and greet with the Maple Leafs' Joe Thornton. Leafs and Oilers tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and nationally across the Sportsnet television network. The Raptors are in Tampa, home to the Miami Heat tonight. Adnan Virk, Dan Schulman in the next segment. Something to chew on for great Canadian meat. Michael Brantley is a free agent, Hazel. Has spent the last 2 years playing for Houston. Prior to that, a long and successful when on the field history in Cleveland, but an injury plagued history as well. Relationships. We're hearing a lot about George Springer trying to lure Michael Brantley to Toronto, make it a bit of a package deal. But let's not discount the fact that Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins have known Michael Brantley for more than a decade because he didn't just play in Cleveland. He came up through Cleveland's very successful farm system.
His father was the hitting coach of the Toronto Blue Jays Mickey. In 2005-2007, Mickey Brantley. And when I heard Michael Brantley might, you know, come with George Springer, he is... someone much like George Springer that could be that veteran presence. He is someone who you can count on to come through to give you big hits, particularly in the postseason. But he's a left-handed bat.
Mm-hmm. And a good one.
And one of the prettiest left-handed swings in the game, period. And that would, you know, give a righty heavy lineup for the Toronto Blue Jays. Oh, could you just imagine, like, where would you put Michael Brantley if you had to just insert him
in that lineup?
You'd
hit him four.
Yeah, I was just gonna say four or five.
It's always a matchups thing too, but yeah, but he would be a great add. He would be a legit middle of the order left-handed
absolutely.
bat, which I mean, they've got Rowdy, but he's not going to be an everyday guy because lefties
and the only
things.
Other lefty is what, Cavan?
At this point,
yeah,
that's right.
At this point. And, you know, hey, he may have picked up the phone and called his dad and said, what's Toronto like?
And Mickey might have said, let me put you on the phone with John Gibbons.
Hey, Michael.
I think it would be fantastic.
Here,
fantastic. Like, it would just be the cherry on the sundae if they got Michael Brantley to come here with George Springer.
Something to chew on. For great Canadian meat, Dan Schulman, as we continue to react to George Springer. Well, yeah, they bring her the Springer. George Springer, a Toronto Blue Jay. Dan Schulman's next. Did I Hazel accidentally walk us into a nickname here when I said Bringer instead of Springer? Because now Tony the Trucker says the Springer of rain?
Look at that. Look how brilliant you are without even trying to be brilliant. The Springer of rain.
I walk ass backwards into a nickname for George Springer. Who knows?
When you're brilliant and you don't even know it.
Well, that can apply to our guests this hour. Jake Kaplan of The Athletic down there in Houston. Adnan Virk is coming up. A big, big morning. Big, big morning. 6 years, $150 million. George Springer is a Toronto Blue Jay. The voice of the Toronto Blue Jays on Sportsnet and the host of a Swing and a Belt podcast. Dan Schulman is here.
Morning, Dan.
Dan.
Hi, guys. How are you? Long time no speak.
Well, I have gone out of my way to make sure that we don't talk while your Packers are on a playoff run.
But, you don't say, really.
But we make exceptions when the news dictates, and here we are this morning. How much better did the Toronto Blue Jays just get?
Well, two parts. So the easy answer is a lot. I mean, he's an elite offensive player. And listen, I know some people are going to say, yeah, but he's an Astro and he cheated and all that. And I understand certain people are always going to feel that way. But he was great in 2019 and great in 2020. And I heard John Paul Morosi talking about this, and I want to echo the sentiment. I understand he was involved in the scandal. If there are shades of gray, I don't think he was as involved as some of the others. I think he felt more remorse than the others. And I am telling everyone who's listening, he's a great guy. I know some people are going to go, ah, he's a great guy, and everybody's going to fall in love with him on a number of levels. But they got way better. He's an elite offensive player, and he's an above-average outfielder. He's not an elite defensive player, but he's an above-average defensive player with a lot of experience in center and a lot of experience in right, and I expect him to play center. They got way better. I was, you know, doodling potential lineups last night like everybody else was. But the second part of the answer for me, guys, is they probably have to trade somebody now. If they get Brantley, they definitely have to trade somebody. But I already think they've got a log jam. And I hope it's not Tellez. I hope it's not Gurriel. You know, if it goes out and gets them a great pitcher, you got to do what you got to do. But I think Blue Jays fans should be prepared that somebody they really like now on this team might end up getting traded.
There's a name you didn't say there.
Yeah.
When you said, I hope it's not Gurriel and I hope it's not Tellez. And look, Dan, it's got to work. But I think Teoscar Hernandez is a piece that can get you something. And he is a piece that if you move out, you don't take any kind of hit on run prevention, right? Because he's not a great defender.
Yeah. The other possibility, too, is Grichuk. And now Grichuk's in a different category. He's a little older. He makes more money. And I think, you know, I think we know what Randall Grichuk is, whereas a Hernandez and a Tellez and a Gurriel still appear to be climbing and have higher ceilings. Not as much certainty, but higher ceilings. So probably one of those four guys is getting traded. The only way you don't trade one of those four guys under the current scenario is if Vladimir Guerrero goes back to third base and Rowdy Tellez plays first and the outfielders rotate through the DH spot. But if that's not happening, if Vladdy's not going back to third, somebody's got to get traded. And if Michael Brantley comes in, and let me tell you about Michael Brantley for a second. And Hazel, I heard you talking a little bit. I mean, he is – I have a soft spot for left-handed batters, like really professional hitters. I mean, they give you a great at bat. He doesn't strike out. He gets the runner in from third. He's great. He's just great. But he's a left fielder slash DH at this point of his career. And I know Springer would love to have him here. They're like brothers. But if he comes, then you might have to trade somebody else. Like, the puzzle is fascinating, but it's incomplete right now. And at some point, the Blue Jays have to decide who's going to be their third baseman. Will it be Vladdy? Will it be Biggio? Will it be somebody who's not here yet? This is all good stuff. I mean, this is all great stuff. But they are far from done, and I'm sure they have an idea of what they want to do, but they got to figure it out.
So the attention now, Dan, turns to pitching, I imagine. Who's out there that you could see potentially helping this rotation?
So I've never thought, Hazel, that Trevor Bauer was going to wind up in Toronto. It just never felt like it was going to happen. And I didn't know if it would be a money thing or a fit thing or a he's too loud on social media thing or whatever. It just never felt to me like a real possibility. But, you know, Jake Odorizzi obviously is a name that everybody has mentioned. They've had interest in him in the past. He's a quality pitcher. I would love to see Taijuan Walker back. I think a lot of people would love to see Taijuan Walker back. And after that, you know, you're looking at maybe trading for guys. Like Cincinnati is clearing out some payroll, and they've got guys like Sonny Gray and Luis Castillo. And do they have interest in young players for established starting pitching? I mean, if you've got Luis Castillo, he is legit. I mean, absolutely legit. And they really need pitching, because one thing that I don't think that's getting talked about enough, because last year was so short, and let's hope this year is 162 games, they're not going to let Nate Pearson go out there and throw 200 innings this year when he threw whatever 50, 60, whatever it was last year. You need depth of arms. You need a lot of guys, and they need more guys than they've got. You know, Yates obviously is potentially, if he's healthy, a great add for the bullpen. They're going to score runs, but to me they need one really solid or above starting pitcher, and probably one more infielder, whether it's a second baseman or a third baseman, a good defensive infielder. Those to me are the two pieces they still need to get.
With Dan Schulman, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. To add to that point, Dan, Ross Atkins has been consistent since 2018, and that includes the early 2019 run of the Allen Hansons and Socrates Britos and Brandon Drurys, etc. That 2021 wasn't the year to turn the corner, it was the year to contend. The Blue Jays have built one of the best farm systems in baseball. So I think sometimes when we talk trades, we speak the names with which we're familiar, naturally. We're not just going to pull random names out of the air, but this is a deep, deep farm system that will have prospects of interest to other teams. I think you package a guy off the active roster because you got to free the logjam and you got to give your trading partner a viable big leaguer. But I think there's a package deal that could really, really entice somebody for a significant, and a, hopefully a pitcher, but a significant contributor for the Blue Jays.
Oh, I think there's no question. And I mean, if you, and I'm not saying he's in the deal, but if you said to a team, how about Lourdes Gurriel, and I really hope they don't trade Gurriel. I really like Gurriel, and I think he's going to hit and hit a lot. And but let's say, or it's Rowdy Tellez, whatever. So one of those guys, and then you say, you know, you've got a Simeon Woods Richardson, you've got an Alec Manoa, you've got a Jordan Groshen. They don't want to trade any of their top prospects. Like, San Diego's a good blueprint. San Diego has made enormous trades, and they've traded their good prospects, but they've held on to just about every one of their great prospects. Prospects are valued now more than ever before. There is no question the Blue Jays have enough in the farm system to go out and make a deal. I'll tell you, when Joe Musgrove went to San Diego, I kind of went, oh, he would have been a great fit. I like him. And I, you know, he can eat up innings. He's a number three guy, whatever you want to say. I think he's got some more room to grow. And I thought he was a guy that the Blue Jays might go get. And maybe they were in on the conversations and the price was just a little bit too high. But you're right. There are guys in the system, but they don't want to trade Woods Richardson or Groshans or Austin Martin or Alejandro Kirk. They probably don't want to trade any of those guys. So can they get a deal done with the next level down? You know, their seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth best prospects. We don't know the answer to that, but I'm sure they're trying. And when you have to pay a premium for free agents like the Blue Jays do, sometimes your best course of action, unfortunately, is you make a trade to get the guy you really need to put you over the top, and they might have to do that.
I asked J.P. Morosi this question earlier, you know, with this lineup, with George Springer in this lineup, where do the Blue Jays, you know, rank in the AL East? Where do you... The Red Sox are going to get Chris Sale back. Nathan Eovaldi is going to be back. You know, they still have J.D. Martinez. Are they better than the Red Sox, Dan?
I think they're better than the Red Sox, yes. I think the Red Sox have too many health issues. I think they're better than the Red Sox. The question to me is, can they be better than the Rays? And I know that sounds crazy. The Rays made the World Series last year, but they don't have two of their top three starting pitchers anymore in Morton and Snell. And the Blue Jays just added an all-star caliber player in Springer. Those are three significant developments. I don't know that I think they're better than the Rays today, whatever today, January 20th, but I think they could be if they go out and keep making moves in the next month or so. So the other crazy thing is We don't know how many teams are going to be in the playoffs this year. Like, is it going back to five the normal way, or is it going to be eight, or will it be somewhere in the middle? And the Blue Jays really stand to benefit, obviously, by an expanded playoff system. But if I'm the Blue Jays, it's my goal to start trying to compete with the Yankees and the Rays this year. The core is very, very cheap. They get a little more expensive next year, a little more expensive the year after that as all these guys start hitting arbitration. So I love that they did this now while the Red Sox are look to be down and while the kids are all pretty cheap. I think it was a great time to go out and get a great player, and I don't think that means they're done. They're going to do more, and I think they'll do more next offseason as well. But to me, the battle, Hazel, is can you be better than Tampa Bay, and can you put a scare into the Yankees? Who knows?
And I do think, Dan, it is worth noting the Ryu contract expires before the kids get, and I use this term very loosely, but get any kind of prohibitively expensive in arbitration. And the Springer contract expires after 2026, such that if there is any overlap in terms of retaining your own free agents, the Bos, the Vladdies, who will come up after 2025, that overlap is only but a season, right? Well, like, this is being well charted out long term.
Yeah, and they probably had to give the sixth year, and they had to give more money per year to get him. And so you got to do what you got to do. The thing about arbitration, it's funny. Like, if Bo and Vladdy get really expensive in arbitration, it means they're really good. It means they're putting up huge numbers. If you're not paying them that much, it means they didn't put up the numbers. The best case scenario is that Bo and Vladdy get really expensive in arbitration, because that means that they're performing to their capabilities. It's going to be really exciting. There's more to come, whether it's a trade or another signing or both. The picture is not complete yet. And, boy, I would love to be a fly on the wall and to hear, you know, all the internal conversations about, well, do you move this guy, or can Biggio play there? And Biggio is another part of it that we haven't talked about very much. Does he have a regular spot, or is he like a 5-6 day a week, everywhere kind of guy, you know, the best, and I hate the term utility guy, but the best utility guy in baseball? That can help you alleviate a long jam a little bit, but they do have flexibility. They do have options. They got to go out and make another move or two to really make it complete. But it's exciting. It's really exciting. I wasn't sure we were going to have this conversation. I thought, you know, we might be talking about, hey, they signed Jackie Bradley, or they signed Colton Wong, and those are, you know, good players, helpful players. I wasn't sure we were going to be having this conversation, so it's pretty cool.
Dan, we'll leave it there. As you and I have long agreed for many, many, many years, the two greatest number 12s we've ever seen are Roberto Alomar and Tom Brady. So you enjoy that this weekend.
I'll enjoy it, and I'll enjoy coming on next week if you want.
Yes, okay. All right.
Yes.
We'll cop to it, and we'll invite you on. We'll invite
and
you
then,
on.
And then maybe Hazel and I can preview.
I was just going to say that.
Minute, right?
Yes. See you in Tampa.
Yes.
The rematch of the first Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah. Hazel and I would be happy to go down and cover the Super Bowl for the fan if that can be arranged. We'd be happy to do that.
You got it.
I'll pay for the plane ticket.
Thanks for this, Dan. Good to hear your voice.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Dan Shulman, play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays on Sportsnet from our New Jersey studios in beautiful, lovely Secaucus.
I've
crystal
been there.
Clear.
I'm not sure it's.
No, beautiful, it's lovely. Well, like, we'll let Adnan Virk of MLB Network chime in. Secaucus, New Jersey, beautiful, lovely. Is that especially this time of year?
Listen, Scotty Mac, as advertised, okay, Hazel knows the Garden State does not get nearly as much love as it should. Even as a proud Canadian and an adopted New Jerseyan, there's actually a lot more to like about New Jersey beyond just the turnpike and the fact Hazel May was an indispensable part of the MLB Network years ago. Good to be with you both.
Great. Good morning to you. That's great. That's a nice thing to say when you have a guest on. Indispensable.
Yeah. Love it.
He's going to be part of my next contract negotiations.
Hazel, every time people say, oh, you're Canadian? We used to have a Canadian here, Hazel May. I'm like, I'm aware. I've never met Hazel. I'm aware of her work. I'm aware she's Canadian. We're good.
Adnan, isn't it funny? You're from Canada? Oh, do you know, Joe from, Fredericton?
Right. Oh. Right, from Regina? Oh, yeah, sure. Great. Good guy.
I mean, Henry and Lloydminster is just the king of everything. All right, George Springer is the king today, the Springer of Rain. I backed into that nickname.
I like it.
I'd love to take credit for it, but Hazel won't let me away with it. I literally accidentally backed into that by tripping over my tongue. That said, huge news. Adnan, what's the immediate buzz south of the border? Because you are in the area, the New York area, and the Mets were thought to be pursuers of George Springer as well.
I was picking up one of my kids from preschool yesterday, Scotty, and one of the moms is an avid Mets fan, and she was talking about the whole Jared Porter situation. It was another mess in itself. And she said, what are you hearing about Springer? I said, well, the report is it's going to come down this week to the Mets or the Blue Jays. And she looks at me with this pained expression and says, why would anyone want to go to Toronto? And I said to her, well, it's a wonderfully cosmopolitan city. It's very diverse. And oh, by the way, it's owned by this conglomerate, which is looking to spend some money. I don't know if you're aware, we've got this great young, okay, I don't know if you're aware, we got this great young cornerstone of star players, yada, yada, yada. So all the New Yorkers, at least that I was speaking to this week, were thinking, come on, are you kidding? If the choice is Toronto or New York, of course they're going to take New York. And I don't think that was so much New York bias as, well, listen, Springer is from Connecticut. New York is clearly building something. They got Francisco Lindor. They're looking to spend money. They have an owner, Steve Cohen, who's very aggressive and seems very engaging. But clearly, it's a little bit myopic in that the New Yorkers are not looking at what Toronto is building. And obviously, the great young core we know the Jays have assembled, and the fact that Mark Shapiro has a five-year contract now. Now he's been given not just a willingness, but almost a mandate to, yes, go spend some money. Get some star players. Let's start winning. Let's start building this thing. So I think south of the border, the non-hardened baseball fans go, oh, my God, how did the Jays take him away from the Mets? The more savvy fans go, no, we get this. Toronto was trying to be a player. It was starting to get a little frustrating, as Dan Schulman was just alluding to hang on a second, are the Jays going to get anybody, because it seems like they're striking out more than they're actually swinging for the fences. So the fact they got Springer, it's great news certainly for Toronto, and I think for the New Yorkers, at least here, they're a little frustrated. You look at the numbers, though, Scotty, it comes down to, from what I was reading, Mark Feinstein was reporting, it's a great job, of course, MLB.com. Mets were offering 6 years, 120 to 125. And the Jays went 150. So if it's a matter of $25 million, good for Toronto.
That's what my next question to you was going to be. What happened with the Mets? And did the Jared Porter have anything to do with their attention now turning to that mess and the Jays coming in and scooping up George Springer?
It's a good question, Hazel. I was thinking the same thing myself, that when I first heard that Springer was going to be announced this week, and then I saw the Jared Porter news, I said, okay, does this help or hurt?
Right.
My first thought was, okay, if it hurts, it's certainly in that, listen, we just got rid of our GM. Sandy Alderson knows that it's way too big a job just for the president to do. Let me bring in another guy here. Let's figure this out. We need a week or two. And maybe Springer's camp was, started to put the pedal to the metal saying, listen, if in theory spring training does happen a month from now, which we all hope for, knock on wood, we want to get things settled here, and George wants to get this done. So that's how it would have hurt them. A part of me said it might help, because Steve Cohen might say, listen, we've just had a disastrous week. This guy we hired obviously sent some horrible, sexually explicit text messages. Let's try to remove ourselves from this awful situation and sign Springer. And, it's almost like, hey, nothing to see here, guys. Look over here. I got this big, shiny new toy. But I do think it hurt Hazel. I think ultimately they go, hang on, we've got a structure here in place. They had engaged Springer's camp with conversations. All of a sudden, the GM's gone. That's not to say Steve Cohen obviously can't just say, fine, here's $150 million. We'll do it. But I think that it was a little bit odd timing for them, and for Toronto, they certainly pounced. We've seen this. We saw this with DJ LeMahieu. Apparently the Yankees at one point were offering 4 years and $80 million. And I kept hearing, well, if somebody offers LeMahieu a fifth year, he'll take it. Meaning if Toronto would have given 5 years, 105, 110, whatever it was, it'd be a done deal. And it ends up being a 6-year deal with LeMahieu, and you go, oh wow, but it's only $90 million. I say only relatively speaking, because the AAV, the average annual value, is $15 million. LeMahieu had signed a contract of 2 years and $24 million, which was an absolute steal. That's like one of the great thefts ever by Brian Cashman. So similarly for the Blue Jays, with Springer, I kept hearing, okay, the Jays and the Mets are only offering again, $20 to $25 million a year, but George wants the extra year. So it is actually a palatable contract from both sides. If you say, all right, Springer says, I got 6 years. I am good for the duration of my baseball career. If I get one more after this, great. I'm 37. Wow, that'd be wonderful. I can play a couple more years. But the Jays say, listen, we were not willing to go above $25 million a year. We were able to do so. We lock up a star. And in this market, at this time, you lock up a star like Springer, that speaks volumes about where the team is headed.
With Adnan Verk of MLB Network, it's his weekly Wednesday hit with us on Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. This also is a franchise and organization now that has a terrific farm system, Adnan, and it is a team at the big league level that is in need of pitching. there's some run prevention talk related to the defense that that will shelve now for another day, but they do need more arms, and I would argue at least one more that we would consider to be significantly consequential. I think there's a package deal to be made that involves some prospects that diehard Blue Jays followers and fans would have heard of, perhaps more of the fringe fans would not have heard of. I think there's something more coming here.
Couldn't agree more, Scotty. My first thought was, if I'm going to spend $150 million, I'd rather take Trevor Bauer than George Springer. Then I thought about it further and said, okay, well, you could talk me into saying Springer has obviously the great postseason resume, you know, the 18 home runs, fourth all time. He's been a solid, productive player, and the Jays could use a boost in that outfield, particularly their outfield defense. As you mentioned, run prevention has been the theme that Shapiro and Atkins have been voicing all along. And you could tell me, fine, with Bauer prior to this year, 2020, he'd only had one sub-4 ERA. Yes, he had a spectacular 2020. Yes, he won a Cy Young, but it was a shortened season, et cetera. Maybe you think he's a wild card. I get that. But to your point, the reason why I would have prioritized Bauer is my feeling is if I'm running the Blue Jays, their greatest need is starting pitching. When I looked at the numbers the other day, I said, okay, Hyunjin Ryu, again, was an overpay for 4 years and $80 million, but he was wonderful in his first season. I mean, top three Cy Young voting. Okay. After that, you have to hope these guys are going to reclaim what they have once been, meaning Tanner Roark and Ross Stripling and Robbie Ray. Like, none of those three guys is intimidating to me if I'm an opposing offense. So I completely agree with you. I still need to be able to say, hey, guess what? We signed Masahiro Tanaka as our number two. We got Jake Odorizzi as a number three. Like, there's going to be guys out there. There are players in the market who are not Bauer who can still be successful starting pitching who would represent an upgrade right now for Toronto. We all know Nate Pearson's a stud. But in a season in which the most innings any starter threw was Lance Lynn with 84, I think every team is going to be super cautious about how much these guys pitch. So Pearson's not going to be anywhere close to, you know, 180 innings, much less 150. I would think as a young flamethrower, you want to be careful with how many innings he can throw. Ergo, you need to have other guys, other arms that can supplement him, whether that means bringing back Taiwan Walker. To your point, making a trade for Luis Castillo from the Reds, which would be, I mean, this guy's an absolute stud. He's got a 3 more years of club control, only $4 million a year. You'd have to give up a lot to get him from the Reds. But there's options out there. I could not agree with you more. I was really hoping for Liam Hendricks, who I love, former Blue Jay, wife from Montreal, great guy. They don't get him. Okay, fine. Kirby Yates had a spectacular 2018, 2019. You hope he can be the guy he once was. Chatwood was a bust, quite simply, with the Cubs. Theo Epstein missed on that. You hope he can be a good bullpen piece. He was good in the bullpen for Chicago in 2019. But you need another starting arm. I could not agree with you more.
We got an Ergo on the way out the door, too. That's
Did you
huge.
See the look on my face?
Oh, I saw the look on Hazel's
I was like,
face.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing down the Ergo.
And Hazel used genuflecting yesterday.
I'm
learning stuff, Adnan.
I remember one time trying to impress one of my high school English teachers, and he's, you know, I think it was, by the way, this would be a very Canadianism, I think it was OAC, which is a very outdated
term. Yes. Oh my gosh, yes, I'm an OAC. Yeah.
Pre-double cohort, baby. We know the words.
I was in OAC, and I told a teacher, I think, ergo, I am, and that's it. Get out of the class right now.
We'll talk next week. Thanks for this.
Thanks, Adnan.
Scotty, Hazel, thanks, guys. Hazel, I'll tell everyone you said hi.
Please do. Thank you.
Adnan Virk of MLB Network. We're giving you the chance to virtually meet Joe Thornton. Tune in every weekday for keywords and then text them to 590-590 to enter. Please include your name. The more keywords you collect, the better your odds are to win a spot in the video chat with Jumbo Joe. Your next keyword is major. Text major to 590-590 right now to enter. Hear your next keyword at 1220 during Hockey Central. For details on how to meet Jumbo Joe, visit sportsnet.ca/590. The Houston perspective, the player, the person the Blue Jays are getting in George Springer. We'll discuss with Jake Kaplan next. Leafs and Oilers tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and across the nation on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 1 has the Raptors and Heat, the first of two consecutive games. The Raptors will play at home down in Tampa against Miami, the next one coming Friday night. Again, Sportsnet 1 has you covered there. The big news of the day, though, And you heard Hugh lead with it. We've been talking about it all morning. George Springer, 6 years, $150 million. This is the richest contract the Toronto Blue Jays have ever given to a player in their 40-plus year history. Who is coming to the city of Toronto? Tell us about the person, the player, George Springer. For that, we turn to Jake Kaplan of The Athletic, who covers the Astros beat. Thanks for doing this morning, Jake. And I'm going to start from the player perspective. We can go to Baseball Reference or Fangraphs and see the stats. We can recall big moments that George was a part of in the Astros playoff runs. But, I mean, you've seen this guy each and every day. What kind of player on the field are the Toronto Blue Jays getting here?
Yeah, he was really... I've covered the team since 2016 down here in Houston. He was really the energy source of their lineup. You know, it was a big reason he batted leadoff, was to kind of set the tone for what they did offensively every day. He plays really hard, which has also some consequences sometimes. He did get hurt. I would say maybe once a year he would come up with something, sliding into a base or running, you know, making a dive in the outfield. You know, so he does have, you know, that, which obviously as a team you want, but, you know, he does get hurt here and there. You know, the big transition, in his game over the years has probably been cutting down on his strikeouts. In the minors, he was like a strikeout machine, and at college at UConn too, but he's really the last 4 or 5 years improved his strike zone discipline. And you know, I think that's kind of when you saw him become, you know, more become a superstar in a lot of ways. And you know, he's 31 now, so he's on the opposite side of 30, but you know, I think he's probably got a couple years at least in center field left. And when he did play right field in the past, he was a Gold Glove caliber right fielder. Back when they had Carlos Gomez playing center and Colby Rasmus playing center, he can do both, which you know, should help any concern about position long term.
Jake, off the field, I've had the good fortune of covering the Houston Astros for Sportsnet and MLB International over the years. And I came upon a story of George doing extensive charity work in Houston for SAY, so the Stuttering Association for the Young, where he helps children with speech difficulties. For Canadian baseball fans who are not familiar, what can you tell us about why George has been so involved with this foundation?
Yeah. Springer has a stutter, and it's something he's dealt with, you know, since he was a kid. And I think, you know, I think really since he became, I'm not exactly sure when his work as SAY spokesman started, but it's been most of his Astros career, at least. He's held a big charity event here in Houston every year. I went 1 year, and it was pretty powerful to see, you know, the impact on the kids of the organization there. So, you know, that's definitely, I know, something that's important to him and something he's passionate about. And it's a personal cause for him.
Jake Kaplan is our guest from The Athletic on the Houston Astros beat. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Why didn't the Astros jump into the pool deeper to try to retain him? It feels, Jake, like they're past their window, or the window is closing. There are others who are going to depart here soon. I know that Dallas Keuchel and others have previously gone out the door. Like, what is the MO of the Houston Astros at this particular juncture post the scandal?
Yeah, I mean, it really predates the scandal. Really, since Jim Crane bought the team in 2011 and hired Jeff Luhnow in
late 2011 going into 2012, and they dived headfirst into the analytics age. They haven't relied on free agency really at all to build their roster. Their biggest free agent contract is $52 million for Josh Reddick. It's just not their, you know, they're very risk averse when it comes to free agency. And that's, you know, it's, I know it's difficult for the fans because they lose a star player every year now, and plenty of complimentary players too, like Charlie Morton and Marwin Gonzalez and, you know, Will Harris and Robinson Chirinos. Like, they're, it's almost become a foregone conclusion every year now when one of their players becomes a free agent that they're going to walk, which, you know, the model has worked for the Astros, and they do. It's weird because it's not like they don't spend money. They're, you know, they paid the luxury tax in 2020, but I guess they just view it as an inefficient market, really, because you're bidding against 29 other teams. And, you know, I'm not expecting it to be any different in the future either. With Carlos Correa next year and Lance McCullers next year, it's just kind of how they operate.
There's been so much talk about Michael Brantley possibly signing with the Blue Jays and joining George here in Toronto. What can you tell us about Brantley in his time with the Astros and his relationship with George? Are they really good friends outside of teammates?
They are, yeah. It's interesting because Brantley only spent 2 years the last two seasons with Houston, and one of them was the shortened season. So it's not as if they were longtime teammates, but pretty quickly when Brantley joined the Astros in 2019 spring training, him and Springer, they knew each other a little bit before because they share an agent, but they really took to each other. And I think Brantley really helped Springer find a routine that worked for him on a daily basis. Brantley's had a routine that he's used for years, and Springer wasn't really a routine-oriented player before. And I think he really helped Springer improve. If you look at Springer's 2019, had he not gotten hurt and missed, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but I would say 30 or 40 games, he might have been in the MVP conversation with Mike Trout and Alex Bregman that year. His numbers in a shortened 2019 were that good. And that I think Brantley has a lot to do with that. So, yeah, I mean, I think that would actually be like a really smart selling point by the Blue Jays if they did sign Brantley. And I think it would also help Springer kind of maintain his performance that he's had the last 2 years as when Brantley was his teammate.
Jake, good of you to get up and do this for us this morning. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it, and we'll reach out again.
Thanks, Jake.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Jake Kaplan of The Athletic down there in Houston, Astros beat reporter.
I did a feature on George Springer and the Stuttering Association, for the Young, and speaking with him and interviewing him, when he talks about the game, you don't hear it, but every now and then you do notice it. And I talked to him about it, and he wants to take something that young kids are bullied for and chastised for, and he wants to turn it into a positive so that they look at George Springer, popular baseball player, they look at him and think, you know, I can do that. I can be like him, and my speech impediment won't stand in my way of accomplishing my dreams. And, you know, I get a lump in my throat when I hear about his work with the foundation. And I think Blue Jays fans are going to love the person on the field, of course, but I think they're going to love George Springer off the field as much.
Yeah, the production will always drive the bus, but a good dude. You know, the incoming president of the United States has a stutter. Queen Elizabeth's father, King George, had a stutter. You can achieve. You can do good things. And George Springer is a reminder of that. A huge signing. And this will be a day we remember. Happened on January the 19th. Right. January the 20th, the day we get to talk about it. 6 years, $150 million. George Springer, the prize of the offseason, is a Blue Jay. We'll get you set for good show and offer you our final thoughts on this next. Foot Floyd will be on Good Show coming up at 11:30. We're looking forward to this tomorrow morning, 8:10 on Leadoff for your Thursday. Pitching coach Pete Walker of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Good timing. You can ask him about the big news, but I'm curious to ask him about, you know, Robbie Ray and Tyler Chatwood, Kirby Yates. It's got to be exciting.
Well, Pete gets some love, too. Did you see the comments online, Taiwan Walker?
Not surprising. Yeah,
like, just the Jays are at the forefront of...
Not surprising.
Technology and spin rate stuff, video stuff, all of that, and he'd love to return. And they all credit Pete Walker. The one thing Taiwan Walker said, he said, I was in Seattle, I get here, we're in the middle of a pennant race, so all of a sudden it's go, go, go. I would love to have had an opportunity to sit down with Pete Walker for a longer period of time and learn more about my stuff and how to best use it.
And Robbie Ray said the same thing. One of the big reasons why he wanted to come back is Pete Walker. What did I call him? The pitching whisperer? If he can't fix you, no one can.
We'll see if he can help us tomorrow morning. Yeah, exactly.
Nobody can do that. Nobody has that power.
You people are too beyond help. It's a huge day for the Blue Jays. It really is. And I think part of the excitement is that they're clearly angling to contend this year, but you can also play along with where this might be going. You don't know the name or the names that might be involved in a trade that will be made here in the next few weeks, but I think we're all in agreement that something is coming, that something is coming.
Well, Dan was saying that there's a bit of a log jam and that somebody that we really like might be on their way out. Uh-oh.
Oh. Do you know something we should know?
No, I'm just going off what Dan Shulman was telling us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, did I miss something? Was I asleep during Shulman?
I'm just making up stuff.
Well, they got pieces they can move. And people say, well, you know, we all fall in love with all of the players, right? And it is, you know, when I sit here and say Teoscar Hernandez, for example, a Teoscar Hernandez 30-plus home run guy, but this is a stout lineup, and what if he is a piece of a larger package to go and get you an arm, a major league-ready player, a guy who's been in the league a few years and has accomplished some things, has a good reputation. He can help you acquire something that will be a nice add for this team. And it's not me crapping on Teoscar Hernandez. It's you got to give to get.
Yes.
And we look at this right now. This is a team that wants to contend in 2021. The Tampa Bay Rays have moved on from Blake Snell. Charlie Morton is not returning. There's vulnerability there. They always seem to plug the gaps, but there's vulnerability there. The New York Yankees are looking at a return of DJ LeMahieu and hoping that Corey Kluber, who's pretty much keeping it together right now with chicken wire and duct tape, can somehow regain his best days in Cleveland, his Cy Young form from many years ago, which does not preclude the Yankees from making more moves between now and spring training or now and the start of the season. But there's an opportunity here for the Blue Jays, and I think you continue to press the pedal to the metal.
Do you think that they try to get a guy like Trevor Bauer? Like, if they're going to go for it, then go for it, right?
Okay, and that is one alternative. Yeah. That is one option. That costs money.
Mm-hmm. It's just money.
I agree with you. No, that costs money. But do you want to go down that path? Or Luis Castillo's name has come up a few times on this show. The Cincinnati Reds. The Reds are so weird. Like, it's like they tried for a year and a half, and then now they're pulling back again, and maybe the pandemic affected that. But if Luis Castillo is available, because he's got a lot of control left at a cheap number, maybe that's the guy you go and get, and you're willing to part with three or four future pieces. Because you can make that trade and still have a plus farm system. You really can.
And if they're going to do it, like JP said, this is the time to do it. When I think back with the Boston Red Sox and, you know, they're rebuilding or retooling, I can tell you from firsthand experience, they don't do that for 2, 3, or 4 years. I think they're going to be better. You're going to get Chris Sale back. You still have JD Martinez to deal with. So if you are going to, quote unquote, go for it, you might as well go all in, because now is the opportunity to do it. The Red Sox will not be every year. The fan base won't stand for it. The ownership won't stand for it. So you've got to pounce. The opportunities are there. You've got to put people in place for you to go for it. So, yes, do what you have to do. And if you have to trade beloved Blue Jays favorite players, you have to do it.
What are you saying? Boston's a crazy baseball town?
They may or may not be.
If we've got time before the end of the week.
I have so many stories. I should just write a book, Hugh.
You should write a book. If we've got time before the end of the week, Hazel, because you know how it is sometimes. People are like, the media is so tough on the Maple Leafs here in Toronto.
Oh, please.
We need stories of the Boston Red Sox and the stuff that goes on in that city. Like, you want that tough? That's tough.
That's a good teaser,
too. That's tough. That's tough. So come up with some stories over the next couple days. We'll have some fun with that. George Springer is a Blue Jay. 6 years, $150 million. The Maple Leafs host the Oilers tonight on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, it's a game you can watch on Sportsnet. The Raptors host the Heat, a game you can watch on Sportsnet 1. We are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And among the guests on Good Show coming up a little bit later today, Jim Bowden. Have a great Wednesday. George Springer. Well, yeah, they bring her the Springer. If you